Let us pray together. Lord God, we thank you even as we come before you this morning, as we read and remember once again the sacrifice that our Lord Jesus Christ had done for us. Lord, we remember his pain, his suffering, his death on the cross. Lord, this morning may you speak to our hearts that we respond to the love of our Savior. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. You know, even as I read and reflect once again this morning on the death of our Lord Jesus Christ and the circumstances surrounding it, I can't help but notice, you know, I don't know, as you read the account, whether it struck you to realize that, you know, the death that Jesus went through was to some extent a very senseless killing, a very senseless killing of an innocent man. Now, here was a man who lived a sinless life, but yet he was crucified as a great sinner. Here was the perfect, holy Son of God, but yet found guilty of blasphemy against God himself. It's a paradox, isn't it? Here was a Jew who committed no wrong, but yet declared to be more worthy of death than the notorious criminal Barabbas. You know, many things about how Jesus was condemned to die on the cross seems senseless and irrational. Something that shouldn't have happened. But yet it was through this such a senseless death that God solved man's deepest problem of sin and separation from God. And out of that, he brought life. Never has one death accomplished so much as the death of Christ on the cross. The cross became the greatest thing that ever happened to the history of mankind, isn't it? It was what God has been preparing for the Jews and for all mankind since the day he called Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12. It was what God has been pointing towards when he sent the many prophets to his people in the Old Testament, like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and various others, to forewarn his people. The cross reveals many things to us. And this morning, I just want to share with us a couple of things. Firstly, the cross reveals the ugliness of mankind. The cross reveals the ugliness of mankind. You see, when we look at the cross, we need to realize that this was one of the most cruel forms of capital punishment that there was. It was designed by the Romans to have a person go through a very slow, painful, torturous death. And it was very common for those on the cross actually to hang there for many, many hours, slowly bleeding, dehydrating under the hot noon sun, and slowly suffocating as the lungs are being compressed. You see, because their hands will be spread out on the cross, and as they were nailed and they were hanging from there, the only way to gasp and to breathe more air is to push up against the nails on the hands and against the feet. And that causes even more bleeding. And so over time, as you hang there, you have to decide, do you want to die by suffocation or by excessive bleeding? You know, it's one or the other. You either bleed through your wounds or you suffocate from not being able to breathe because of the position that you are in. It was not just a physical torture, but it was also an emotional and psychological torture, because the last shred of self-esteem is torn down when one is publicly paraded down the streets, humiliated, your clothing totally removed, and you're hung on the cross for all to see and to sneer. That was the cross. The cross was human evil at its worst. Throughout the last hours of Jesus since Gethsemane, We see betrayal when Judas betrayed him with a kiss, no less. We see an unjust trial by the Jewish council right in the early wee hours of the morning. We see Pilate and Herod protecting themselves by not wanting to make an unpopular decision. Right? And so Jesus was thrown back and forth between Pilate and Herod and back to Pilate again. In the various accounts of coming before the court, we hear lies of men who will point accusations at Jesus, things that he never said or things that were quoted out of context. But Jesus never breathed a word. We hear the cries of the blood, the cries of the crowd for the innocent blood of a man. We see the soldiers mocking Jesus, abusing their position, spitting on him, beating him. And we see the denials of Peter in a bid to save his own life. You know, I believe that with each and every one of these sinful acts of men committed against Jesus, Jesus was there, hearing everything that happened, seeing everything that happened, and he endures it. Because I believe as he was going through, he looks at all these atrocities and he tells himself, this is exactly why he needs to die for men. This is exactly why, the reason why he came to earth, to save men from their sins. Scripture in Isaiah 53:6 tells us, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord God has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And I believe it is with that that Jesus utters, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The cross revealed the ugliness of men. Secondly, the cross also reveals the love of God. You know, Jesus did for us what we could not do for ourselves. Right? He died on our behalf to pay the penalty of sin, to turn the righteous wrath of God away from us and upon him. He himself took the full punishment for our sins. But not only that, he also lived a perfect life. The fully obedient, the fully righteous life that God demands of all of us in order to inherit the kingdom of God. Not only did he turn away the wrath of God, but he fulfilled all righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us that God made the one, Jesus, who did not know sin, to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So my friends, it's not just about taking away the sins of men, but it's also fulfilling the righteousness of God. Jesus stood in our place, not just to die on our behalf, but to fulfill all righteousness. So even though we are fallen, sinful men and women, yet God sees us through the lenses of Christ on the cross, and he sees that the penalty of our sins have been fully paid for, fully redeemed people, all debts cleared. But not only that, he looks at us and he sees holy, perfect, and righteous. He sees us as a holy people, perfect and righteous because of what Christ has done, because of the life that Christ lived, because of the righteousness of Christ. Not because of what we do, but because of what Christ had done on our behalf by living out that life and that righteousness that is required by God. You see, God loved us so much that he doesn't leave us when we mess up. He doesn't forsake us when we fail to match up to what is expected of us. Instead of simply watching from a distance and watching us mess up our world and mess up our lives, he laid aside his majesty, he laid aside his glory, He took on flesh and he joined us in this world to show us a better way, to make possible a better way, the way of the kingdom of heaven. So my friends, it wasn't the Romans who nailed him to the cross. It wasn't the Jews who crucified him. Jesus himself said he could have called upon 12 legions of angels to come at any time to save him, isn't it? To come to his rescue. He could have come down from the cross any time. But Jesus stayed on. It was his love for us that made him stay on the cross until the end, giving up his life in order that we might have life through his death. And so we read that in the final moments, Jesus gave up his spirit. He laid down his life for us. The cross not only reveals the ugliness of mankind and reveals the love of God, but it also reveals the destiny of all creation. You see, everything changed at the cross. The works of the devil were destroyed and rendered powerless. Death lost its sting. Now, today, we do not need to fear death anymore because Jesus conquered death through the cross. And so in the book of Hebrews chapter 2, it tells us through death, he destroyed the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and delivered all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery for ages and even up to today, I think. One of the greatest fear of men is death. Death. There is one something that the devil has a strong hold in every one of our lives. But on that day, demons were disarmed. Death was defeated. Demons were disarmed and made a public spectacle of because Christ has triumphed over them by the cross. Satan has been defeated, and his final destiny, we are told, is in the burning lake of fire and sulfur. You see, the cross ushered in a new age. A new age where the new heaven and new earth will one day be fully established. And Scripture paints for us the picture of the renewal of creation, of all creation. The new Jerusalem where God will dwell, river of life that will flow through it. A time when wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, as the prophet Isaiah tells us. And the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together will live together in peace. There will be no more death, no more killing, no more spilling of blood. The cross changes the destiny of all mankind. Once in bondage to sin, under the shadow of death, condemned to all eternity without God, but yet today, we can cry, Emmanuel, God with us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the broken vessels that bear the treasure of God's love. Once separated from the Holy One because of our sin, today we can draw near in faith and to be touched by our Creator. Isn't that a wonderful victory? All this because of the cross. All this because of the cross. Let us therefore today fully embrace the destiny that God has for us by drawing near with faith. Draw near with faith. You know, faith is not an airy-fairy feeling, you know, but rather a deep knowing of a reality that is not yet seen. You know, it's like the story of this passenger who was in a taxi. You know, he was taking a taxi and he had a very bad stomach ache. So he quickly told the cab driver, you know, sorry, driver, I have to find a toilet soon. Please make a detour, maybe to a nearby mall and drop me there. You know, I need to get to a toilet. It was late at night The cab driver was waiting to change his shift, right? So he didn't want to make a detour. He says, no, don't worry, you know, it's nothing. You'll be all right. You know, you're just feeling it. So the passenger, after a while, continued to ask the driver, you know, you need to get off the express here. You know, I need to get off to the nearest toilet. But each time the driver says, oh, it's nothing. You're just feeling it. After a while, the passenger stopped asking. And then the cab driver smelled a very bad odor, you know, very bad smell coming from the back seat where the passenger was. And he looked at the passenger angrily and said, what? Did you just let go in my cab? The passenger was sitting there smiling with a very relaxed face and replied, oh, it's nothing. You're just feeling it. You know, my friends, faith is more than just a feeling. It's that deep knowing. That deep knowing of a reality that you cannot yet see. It is a trust and that belief that the promises of God will come to pass, will one day come to pass, because God has said it so. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Faith is the key that unlocks all that which Jesus has already won for us through the cross. As we look at the cross and remember what Jesus had done for us, let us also be reminded that the reason Christ has won the victory and is waiting for us to respond to Him on a daily basis, to respond in faith, to embrace the cross, to die daily to ourselves in order that we may grow into the destiny that He has for us. Jesus tells us in John 12, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you and we praise you for all that you have done for us on the cross. On this day, 2,000 years ago, you bore the humiliation, the scorn, the pain, the accusations that were thrown against you. You bore the whipping on your back, the nailing on the cross, on your hands and on your feet. All this because of us. We remember your love for us. Lord, may you stir in us that faith to respond to your love, that faith to trust you in all things, to trust you with our lives, because you have given up your own life for us. And through your death, today we are able to live victorious life. Through your death, we have victory over the evil one. If only we draw near to you in faith. Thank you that all has been made possible. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We respond to the preaching of God's word and the readings as we rise to give our offertory, during which we will sing from hymns of praise 158, there is a fountain filled with blood.